Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. It is a Monday morning, January 24th, 2022, and today we're talking with the Riley County Historical Museum. And joining us here via Zoom, we have the Executive Director, Alana Parker. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you once again. And she's invited with her Ron Wilson from the Huck Boyd Institute here today. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Brandon.
Always a pleasure to talk to you here, and we'll get to hear some cowboy poetry here and a little bit of Kansas Day poetry as well, as we are celebrating Kansas Day here on the program that is coming up this weekend, January 29th.
Yes, and Kansas Day is such a fun day, and that was one of Cheryl's favorite holidays is Kansas Day. So we always try to do something fun at the museum, and Kansas Day will always remind me of her. But it's just a fun day to just celebrate our state and take some pride in this beautiful place we live.
Absolutely. And I was looking here, 1861. That's when Kansas became a state, 161 years ago. And the world was a lot different back then.
Absolutely. And so that's what, in looking at how we got here, how Kansas became a state, is pretty interesting. I think Ron has some poetry too. I've heard before about Kansas becoming a state. I'm so glad you're here too to add that the artistic, that the beautiful poetry that you have. But looking at Riley County and its role in how Kansas came to be, you know, we have here in Manhattan the Goodnoe House State Historic Site. And Isaac and Ellen Goodnoe were two influential people in helping Kansas become free. And so in looking, and of course, I think we also, it's important to mention in Kansas, how it got its name is for the Kansa or the Kaw Indians. But in looking at the territory of Kansas, so this is 1854, Kansas territory is open for settlement under the Kansas-Nebraska Act. And under that, the doctrine of popular sovereignty, whoever came to Kansas, they were going to decide whether the state would become a free state or a slave state. So you had free staters like Isaac and Ellen Goodnoe. Isaac quit his job from, he was in Boston at the time, quit his job, and then he and his wife packed up and moved here to what would become Manhattan. And thinking about what it looked like at the time, there's not a lot out here in Riley County, what would become Riley County. So they left a pretty comfortable life behind, and their sole purpose in coming here was to help Kansas become free. And I wanted to share one of my favorite quotes from Isaac. You know, we're fortunate that we have his diaries to look at, that we can learn what his experience was like here. But he said, this is quote, "believing that the rule of slavery or of freedom in the nation would be settled on the prairies of Kansas, I felt impelled to throw myself into the scale on the side of freedom." So there are several instances throughout his diary, in Ellen too, in her letters, writing back to relatives in New England, that state that that's their purpose in coming here to Kansas. And sure enough, it did become, because of those settlers, Kansas entered the Union January 29th, 1861, as a free state. So we celebrate that every year, that history and heritage. And it's a lot of fun to look back at those stories.
At the time when he chose to go for the free state, was that a popular decision?
In New England, so they had groups. There was a gentleman named Eli Thayer who really organized groups from New England to come to Kansas. And of course, you had those, you know, specifically Missouri. At the time, Missouri was a slave state. So bordering, that's where you get Bleeding Kansas in the Border War. You had Missourians who would come over to Kansas, vote, and then it would intimidate voters, and they would go right back over to Missouri, not necessarily staying. So that's where you get what was known as the bogus legislature. So that first territorial Kansas election, there was a man named David Rice Acheson. He led 5,000 Missourians over to Kansas just to vote. And when you look at the voting population at the time, you can see clearly that is what happened, where you had those 5,000 Missourians come over and vote. So that's where you get Bleeding Kansas. And I think it could be argued that the Civil War started right here in our state. So January 29th, 1861, Kansas enters the Union under the Wyandotte Constitution as a free state. Just a few months later, then April 1861, you have the start of the Civil War with the firing of Fort Sumter. So it's not just coincidence. It's everything has that connection, that chain reaction. So that's what we just love at the Riley County Historical Museum, that we get to share that story of freedom here, those founders like Isaac and Ellen Goodenough, and you can tour the house that they lived in. That was also built in 1861. So we've got a lot of great Kansas Day connections to that year.
Excellent. Yeah, what a neat fascination. I don't know if everyone always realizes that, but it's right there in the history of, you know, that era is probably the most pivotal time in United States history right there.
Yes. And I also wanted to mention, in thinking about Kansas being the 34th state, we also have Dwight D. Eisenhower and his connection to Kansas. He was the 34th president. So it's kind of fun that there's another Kansas connection. And we were also talking about we were trying to get to this on the program last time, but Senator Bob Dole is another important Kansan. So if we wanted to talk a little bit about him, or Ron's got some great stories to share about Bob Dole.
Sounds good.
Well, Senator Dole was instrumental in the so much policy of the 1960s and 70s forward, and was such a key figure in Kansas life, Kansas politics. And there's a connection with Huck Boyd. Huck was a Northwest Kansas newspaper publisher in Phillipsburg and was politically active, a great promoter of Kansas and small town values. The Huck Boyd Foundation was established after he passed, and that helped support the Huck Boyd Institute here at Kansas State. But the story is that in the, you know, decades and decades ago, Huck was returning from some late night meeting through Western Kansas, came through Russell, saw one light on in the Russell County Courthouse about who in the world is working in the courthouse this hour, goes into the courthouse, finds young Russell County attorney Bob Dole hard at work on some case. Huck was really impressed with this hardworking young war veteran, kind of promoted him for the big first district congressional seat, which Dole won. And then Huck was a mentor and supporter and a very close friend of Senator Dole throughout Senator Dole's entire political career, and really kind of became a father figure to Senator Dole. They said that at Huck's funeral, they asked Senator Dole to speak, and he said he just couldn't. It was too emotional, and he did. He just broke down emotionally during the funeral, because Huck Boyd meant so much to him. But Bob Dole has meant so much to Kansas. In 2016, the Huck Boyd Institute presented Senator Dole with a Lifetime Achievement Award for service to rural Kansas. And he came to Manhattan. We met at the Kansas Department of Agriculture, still a sharp wit, even though his body was struggling at that point in time. And then one of the things he did before the award, he went over to Dole Hall on the Kansas State campus and had his picture taken in front of Dole Hall with the staff there, because he was instrumental in getting the funding for that facility, which has been innovative in terms of educational outreach to Kansas and particularly schools across Kansas and the nation. So we have a lot to be thankful for, the legacy of Bob Dole.
No question about it. And I don't know if there's been a lawmaker who's maybe meant as much, especially to the rural part of a state than Bob Dole has, because he came from it and he lived it.
He lived it and he never forgot where he came from. And, you know, today we look back on him as this elder statesman, but the times in which he lived, farm crisis after farm crisis, my goodness, the Watergate days, the civic unrest in the 1960s. I mean, he was a steady force in the middle of really, really challenging times.
Did you have, Ron, I don't know if you had a chance to go to the funeral or not in Russell, but I've heard that was quite the ceremony.
I did not go to the funeral. Ironically, I had a meeting in Russell the week of the funeral, and I took the time to drive around the community, and it was really neat how, you know, they had flags out. The Dole home is still there. They have a bust of him inside the county courthouse. So he was a favorite son who came from rural Kansas and always remembered his roots.
Yeah, certainly. Well, thank you for sharing that story. That's some great stuff about the connection between Dole and Huck. Boy, what a wonderful opportunity there. We'll pause here for a moment. We'll take a break. More with the Riley County Historical Museum as we continue on K-Man's In Focus, News Radio KMAN.